You all made the choice to get up, get some clothes on. Thank you for that. And then come to church. You're not here because, well, some of you may hear because somebody drug you, but most of you are here because you made the choice to come to church today. All right? You made the choice to be here and to stay here. You could have walked out after the music portion of our worship service. But you chose to be here. You chose to stay. And you made a choice today. You chose to either fix your hair, put on makeup, put on deodorant. You chose to what car you're going to drive this morning. You chose, am I going to eat breakfast? Am I not going to eat breakfast? You made lots of choices. Am I going to put anything in my coffee today? Am I going to wait and have coffee at the church? Am I going to go to Sunday school class? Am I going to take my Bible? Am I going to read my Bible? You have choices to make all the time. Okay? Now, they made me do it is not an adequate excuse for making a bad choice. Okay? You have to own your choices. Now, sometimes we're the victim of other people's bad choices. Okay? Sometimes you're thrust into situation and circumstances that were not of your own making. They are a result of somebody else's bad choices, but it affects you. Okay? You have no control over that. Things happen. People drive drunk on the highways, and they affect lives of other people that had no business, had no, you know, that had they weren't tied to that situation. Okay? But it seems kind of not fair sometimes too, doesn't it? Especially when you're sitting there going, man, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't deserve this. This just happened, and it's just not fair. And guess what? That's the truth. It's just not fair. However, your response to that situation is all on you. It's all on you. They didn't make you be angry because of what they did to you. No. They did what they did to you, and you chose to be mad about it. Okay? Now, that's one of those, yeah, I can either be mad or I cannot be mad. And sometimes we turn that into a multiple choice. Well, I can be mad because of this, and I shouldn't be mad, but I'm still mad, and we try to make it a lot harder than what it is. And the truth is, that's a choice that we make, okay? And I'm not sitting here or standing here telling you that that's an easy choice. You just need to get over yourself and be happy. You know why I can't tell you that? It's because I have a hard time with that myself. When injustices occur, it's hard to be happy about that. And I don't think God wants us to be happy about that, about the circumstances. However, how I respond to that is all on me. We have a choice. It's a hard choice, but nonetheless, it is yours and you must make a choice. The title for this sermon today is You Have a Choice. In case you didn't kind of get where I was going with that. In Joshua chapter 24, this verse stands out. It says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors that served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua stood up. He said, I'm going to make a choice. I realize I have a choice. I can worship this God, that God, all little g gods, or I can worship the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah God. And it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice. He made a choice. And he was telling everybody else, you guys need to choose. Today is decision day. Today's the day you make a decision. You choose. Who are you going to serve? I'll tell you who I'm going to serve. We're going to serve the Lord. You get to choose whom you will serve. Okay? You also get to choose how you're going to act. In Matthew chapter 5, three verses here, verse 5 through 6, two verses. This is the time when Jesus was in the wilderness and the Satan came up to him and he tempted him three times. And one of these is recorded that I'm going to read to you here is recorded. And it says, the devil took him, being Jesus, in the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, Rebecca and I have been to the Holy Land, and I know where they're talking about, because the temple wall, the temple was built right on the edge of the wall around the city, and the highest point would have been close to that wall. Well, that right outside that wall is the Kidron Valley, and it's steep, and it goes down to the valley floor. So we're talking about a considerable distance. We're talking about probably 400 or 500 feet fall, should Jesus have decided to throw himself off. Well, he had a decision to make. He had a decision to make. Why did he have a decision to make? Why did the devil present that decision for him to make? Because he couldn't push him off. You see, the devil couldn't do that and put that on him. He presented the situation so Jesus would have to choose. He could only whisper in Jesus' ear. So when the devil comes calling for you and me, when he comes calling, you need to know that he can't make you do anything. He can only whisper in your ear. And you always have a choice, which sometimes is even more dangerous. Okay? Sometimes we are more dangerous to ourselves than what the devil is. And here's why I say that. You see, the devil has to check with God before he can wreak havoc in your lives. Okay? Remember the book of Job? Satan approached God and he said, you know, Job only does because only is only good to you because you're so good to him. You bless him. And God gives him permission to mess with him. And devil messes with him, okay? But it wasn't without permission. Wasn't without permission. The problem is, you see, the devil has to check and get permission to mess with you. You don't have to get permission from anybody to mess with yourself. Sometimes it makes us more dangerous. Makes us more dangerous. You can do great damage to your calling without getting approval from anyone. You can decide that you're going to act a certain way or go a certain place or do a certain thing. You don't have to check with anybody. See, there are no checks and balances on that. The decision is all on you. You make that choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm going to go through several verses here. I'm just going to read off. These all have to do with deciding or making choices. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live. You see, God, he said, here it is before you, life and death, blessing and curses. But you still get to decide which one do you want. You choose. I'm going to tell you, I want you to choose life. But it's still your choice. It's still your choice. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. That's a decision that the psalmist made. He said, I have chosen. And I make the choice in the way of faithfulness. I choose to be faithful. Psalm 25, 12. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. You see, when you make the decision, I'm going to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. When you make that choice, I'm going to fear the Lord, then He will instruct us in how we should go based upon the decision we made. Am I going to fear the Lord? Am I going to respect the Lord? Am I going to follow the Lord? And if we choose that, then He will instruct us and He will guide us. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke. You see, there's some negative consequences when we make a wrong decision. And there are always negative consequences when we make a wrong decision. And guess what? You own those because it was your decision. It is important what we choose. It's important what we choose. But it's also important when you choose. The longer you wait to make a decision, the harder it is to decide. I preached a sermon a while back about a word that I made up. The word I made up was preside. Not preside, like to rule over or govern over. the pre-side. Pre-decide. You have to decide beforehand, and I just made the word up, pre-side. It'll probably be in Webster's, Merriam's dictionary at some point, sometime. You might be on Wikipedia by now. I don't know. And if not, it probably needs to be because it's a great word. You got to pre-side. You got to pre-side. You have to pre-decide what you will choose when the time comes. All right? Now listen, young people, I've got a few in the room. I want you to hear something from me real quick. You have to pre-decide. You have to pre-decide on some things. I'm going to be very blunt with you. When you're alone with that boy or girl, and hands are wandering and clothes are becoming unbuttoned, that is not the right time to decide whether or not you're going to... Okay? That's not the time to decide. You need to have decided beforehand, I'm not even going to let myself be put in a situation where that becomes an issue. You have to pre-decide. You have to pre-decide you're not going to put yourself in that position. You have to pre-decide that whenever that pop-up shows on your computer, you're not going to check it out and read it and see if it's something you feel like you ought to check on. You just pre-decide. Whenever a pop-up comes up, I'm just going to go up there and click the X on the top of the box so it goes away. I don't have to decide on whether it's something I need to that piques my interest or tickles my fancy or whatever. I just go, nope, not interested. Boom. I know that tomorrow when the pop-up comes up, that's my response. I have pre-decided that's what I'm going to do. It's a choice that we make. And we have to make those choices every day, multiple times a day. You have to pre-decide that whenever someone tells that lie about you or speaks that untruth, that you will speak the truth, brush it off, and move on instead of plotting revenge. It's a decision that you make. And here's another one. We all want to know the will of God. How many of you want to know what God's will for your life is? Okay? Here's the trick. We all want to know the will of God in our lives, but many want to know the will of God so that then they can choose whether or not they want to apply that to their lives. God, show me your will. Show me your will. I want to know what your will is. Oh, that's it? Let me try again. Show me a different will. Show me a different will for my life so that I can... Again? No. Lord, show me a different will for my life. You see, we have to decide that when we want to know what God's will for our life is, that we will follow that will. We will live in that will. We will follow the plan that He has designed for us, whatever that may be. That's what sets those great people in the Bible apart from everyone else. They made a decision. Not my will, but yours be done. I will follow you. Even when it's not popular with my people, and they want to cast me out and throw stones at me like Paul did. He was stoned. Just didn't kill him, but they tried. It wasn't for lack of trying. But he decided, if this is what I've been called to do, however it ends is in your hands. I'm just going to do my part and be obedient to you. And he pre-decided that. He probably made that decision right after, maybe on the road between the Damascus experience and to the house where he recovered. I think he made the decision at that point. Whatever it is, I've already decided I'm going to follow God. You see, we have to make that choice. The decision is important, but when you make that decision, maybe even more so important. Pre-decide. Make that choice in advance. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat of its fruits." You see, you get to decide what comes out of your mouth. You speak life, you speak death. You get to decide. Do you control your tongue or does your tongue control you? And if you say your tongue controls you, I got to tell you, it's only because you've decided to let it. See, that's not an excuse. It just came out. Well, the Bible tells us where the words that come out of our mouth originate from, right? It tells us what comes out of the mouth begins in the heart. And we have to decide whether that's going to reside in our heart or not. We have choices. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. And let the ones who hear say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. You've been called. The Lord has said, come. Come. Here is the free gift of life. Come. You see, He doesn't come down there, snatch you up and say, you're going to come take some of this water and you're going to have eternal life and I'm going to make you do that. He doesn't do that. He says, come, come, come. He's pleading. He's begging. He keeps chasing after us and He keeps calling out, come, come, come. But the choice is yours. Are you going to come? Are you going to stay? Are you going to come? Are you going to run? Now, sometimes, you know, especially if your name is Jonah, running doesn't work out so good. Never does running work out very good, okay? But sometimes we make a bad choice and we have consequences. We have to live with that, right? And sometimes we make a bad choice, we have the consequences of that, and God still doesn't leave us alone. God chased after him. Sent a fish. Said, go eat that boy. Fish. Ate him up. And then spit him out right where God wanted him to be anyway. Sometimes those choices we make, when we look back and we go, man, if I'd have only just chosen the right thing, all this would have been so much simpler. Right? Well, guess what? Had Jonah pre-decided that whenever the... Now, this is not an average Joe. Not even an unaverage Joe, okay? Wasn't a regular guy. He was a prophet, and he was a man of God. And he needed to have decided, whenever God calls, whenever God sends me, I will go. I will do that. But he didn't do that. He waited until the heat of the moment and said, no, I don't like those people. And God, I don't like them so much. I don't want you to like them either. So I'm not going. So he made that decision on the fly right at that point. And he needed to make it beforehand, said, wherever God sends me, wherever he leads, I'll go. They ought to write a song about that. Wherever he leads, I'll go. You see, we make the decision today that when God calls tomorrow, we don't have to worry about that. That's all said and done. All we got to do is say yes. We know in advance what our response is going to be. Last passage for you today, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why did I put this one in there? It doesn't mention choice. It doesn't say choose. It doesn't say no. But you have to make the decision that you're going to call on the name of the Lord. You see, that's our response. The Lord has called. The Lord is saying, "Come, come, come." Our response is either yea or nay. Our response is either I will or I won't. And for those that say yea, those that say yes, those that call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. If you're here today and you've never called on the name of the Lord, folks, the Bible is true. It is faithful. It is trustworthy. And when it says the Lord will do something if you do something, folks, it ought to make the decision very even more clearly for you. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. You will be saved. You have to choose. You have to choose Christ. Not just for day, but not just for today, but today choose that tomorrow your choice will still be Christ. Choose life. Choose freedom. Choose righteousness. Choose power. Choose forgiveness. Choose hope. Choose faithfulness. Choose to stick through that tough relationship. Choose to be a godly example. Choose to love. Choose to repent. Choose to be obedient. Choose purity. Choose dedication. Choose devotion. Choose to love. Choose to put prejudice aside. Choose to be a witness for Christ. Choose to put that junk away for the last time. Choose to leave that addiction. Choose to parent better. Choose to be an obedient child. Choose to be the spouse that God designed you to be. Choose. 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 Now, not just in your mind, but put action to thought. Put action to that choice. You see, back in the in when they were writing the scriptures, there were these thoughts. And the word believe did not mean just believe. The word believe meant it became such a part of you that it became part of who you are. It was everything about you. So you couldn't say, I believe something and do something different, because that was that didn't go together. Today, that seems to be okay. You say, well, I can believe that Jesus is Lord and He wants me to live a pure life and then go over here and do some other things. And we've got a warped sense of what believe means. Believe doesn't mean that. Believe means that I believe this so much that it affects the whole of my life. You have to choose that. You have to choose that. You have to put action to thought. And then not only belief, but when we make a decision about something, when we speak something, we have to think about the ramifications of that. We have to think about everything that encompasses that and let that be our life choice. Our life choice. You see, I believe you have two choices, really. It's life choices and death choices. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life, the scripture says. Now today you may be here, and you may be saying, you know what, I made that choice. I chose that a long time ago. I got baptized and everything. I've made that choice. I know in my heart and in my mind that I'm going to heaven, and I've sealed that. The Lord has sealed that against me, sealed me in that with the Holy Spirit, and I know that beyond a shadow of doubt. But are you living in that choice? Are you living? Has it become such a part of you that it's part of your DNA now, and that everything you do has been pre-decided against that notion? Everything that I know how I'm going to act because of a decision that I've made, that I've chosen life, and I'm going to live in life. You see, if the two don't line up, then there's something wrong. One of those cannot be true. Either I've chosen Christ or I've chosen to live this way. Both can't be true. We can't separate that any longer. It was never intended to be separated. The whole of who we are is wrapped up in what we decide. Maybe you're here and you're struggling. You know what? I am a child of God, but I just struggle. Because I was done wrong so many times. And like I said, those situations may not have been of your own doing. But how you respond to it is. That is all you. You get to own how you respond to that. And folks, I'm not standing here trying to pretend to you that that's easy. Because those are some tough, tough things. If those of you that have been here for a while and know me, you've heard the story about when I had to go and ask for forgiveness from a guy. He was the instigator, and he was the troublemaker, and he was the bad guy, okay? And I was done wrong. But the Lord impressed upon me that I needed to go to him and ask for forgiveness. And so I had to do that. And I went and did that and asked for forgiveness and said, Mike, you don't have anything to ask for me for forgiveness? I said, oh, yeah, I do. Because I've thought some things about you, brother, that I should not have been thinking. And I need to ask for forgiveness. And he said, well, I forgive you. Never did he ask me, well, will you forgive me for how I did you wrong? Never did he ask. But it was okay because I had done my part. I tended to what I needed to. That bitterness that was inside me and eating me up and ruining relationships that I had. And just it was like a festering sore within me. I had to soothe that. I had to get rid of that through forgiveness. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with a situation that was not of your own making, okay? And it's unfair and it's unjust. I got to be honest with you. How you respond to that is all you. You don't have to like the situation, but you don't have to let it ruin your life either. You don't have to let it rule your life. You don't have to be labeled by something that happened to you, be known by how you respond to those things. Choose life. Choose life. You may be here this morning and you're been dealing with some tough relationships, tough issues in marriage, tough issues with your kids or with your parents. And you need to know you have a choice in how you do that. You have a choice in how you respond to the authoritative figures in your life. You have a choice on how you are authoritative in those others, in the lives of others that are in your relationships. You're responsible for those things. You get to decide. Isn't that cool? God gives you the freedom to choose some things. Yeah, but with choice comes a lot of responsibilities. How are you making those choices? The Bible tells us simply, choose life. Choose life. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, it's a big decision. The most important decision you will ever make in your life. Bigger than who am I going to marry? Bigger than where am I going to work? Bigger than what kind of car am I going to drive? What house am I going to live in? Bigger than any of that is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? And you get to make that choice. You get to make that choice. Choose life. Choose life. Maybe you're dealing with bitterness. I listed off a whole page of things that just came to my mind the other day. Bitterness, hatred, sin in my life, addictions, attitudes. Guess what? You get to choose those things. Maybe you need to come to the altar today and just repent and say, Lord, I've been making some bad choices. Been living in the consequences of those things, and I want to make the right choices. I want to pre-decide today that when that choice comes up tomorrow, I already know what my answer is, and give me the strength and the courage and the fortitude to stand in that decision that I make today for the thing that's going to come up tomorrow. Pre-decide today. Pre-decide today. Father in heaven, we're here today and we love you. Lord, we're so thankful that you are so trustworthy. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the right to choose some things. Father, help us to choose right. Help us to choose life. And Father, help us to make that decision today for the issue that's going to come up tomorrow. Father, the truth is, the way that we learn to make those decisions, you've already instructed us in your word. Father, help us to become so familiar with your word, we know exactly what we should do. And once we know what we should do, Father, give us the strength to live in that decision. Help us to choose life. Help us to choose Christ. Help us to choose you, Lord, over all other things. Scripture says that if we will fear you, if we will respect you and choose you, Father, you will guide our paths. You will instruct us. Father, this life is too difficult for me to wade myself through it. And I need your instruction. I need your guidance. And I choose you. I choose you. Father, help us all in this room today to make the conscious decision today. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus for today. I choose Jesus for tomorrow. I choose Jesus for Friday of next week and every day between now and then. I choose Jesus, should I be here that long, that in the year 2025, on February 18th, whatever day that's on, I'm still choosing Jesus. No turning back. I will follow you today. No turning back. I'll follow you tomorrow. No turning back. I choose you each and every day. Lord, touch us now. Call us to action. Father, I believe that there is significance when we make a decision. We put action to it. We put our feet to it. We prove that we have made a decision and we're going to stand by it and allow others to hold us accountable. So, Father, help us to act upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?